We have today the sequel to Ahab's crime you heard about yesterday. And if you ponder this, this is a remarkable story. First, Elijah goes and lays out the punishment. And it's pretty terrible. It's the end of Ahab's line. And the end of Jezebel. Ahab repents. And God relieves him, at least, of the suffering of seeing his family wiped out. Very interesting. One of the things we can learn from this is how God is so offended by the way we offend one another. Then in the Gospel today, which is Matthew 5, again, one of these antitheses, as they're called, Jesus said to his disciples, "You heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." You won't find that exactly, but the theme is there. Now, in a world like ours, where everything is in flux, it's hard to grasp sort of the context of this. In this part of the world, even today, either you're bound by blood or by covenant, or you're enemies. That's it. And enemies are those who will do whatever they can to get your power, your money, your whatever. And that's it. And into that world comes this teaching of Jesus. And it's quite powerful, huh? I remember a young Muslim boy saying to me, "You know, I don't know why you Christians say that God loves you." I said, "Why do you say that?" "Well, he's crippled you in the real world." And I said, "What do you mean by that?" He said, "Well, he told you had to forgive your enemies. He never told us that." I said, "Well, we hardly ever do it, to tell you the truth, you know, so we're not as crippled as we ought to be. But then, suppose you offend me, yeah, and I forgive you. Would you be touched?" And we said, "Yes, oh wow." So I said, "Then who's stronger, you or me?" He said, "Well, you are." I said, "See, God loves us." See, there's a power in forgiveness. It is wonderful to live in a society where people, they take him seriously. They're not going to do it, because he never told us to do that. But they take this seriously. Now, an enemy, therefore, is somebody who, it doesn't mean somebody we don't like. It's presumed we're going to get over that. That's got nothing to do with enemy. Enemy is somebody who wills evil to us. And we're going to reach out and love that person. That's quite an accomplishment. And when we do that, we're like our Father. Look at the offenses, indirect and direct, committed against God every day. Look at these people now writing books, trying to get young kids to believe there's no God. You know, overtly going after them. Fortunately, up to now, the people done it have been so awkward, maladroit, and stupid, that they're not gaining many adherents. The Golden Compass, I doubt if there'll be, it's supposed to be sequels to that, but I doubt if they'll ever happen. The Da Vinci Code, these, you know, all these books, you know, and this fellow Dawkins, you know, writing this big book because he knows a little bit about natural selection, he thinks. He can pontificate about whether there's a God or not. And God forgives them if they ask his forgiveness. More than Ahab, he forgives them. Because now the blood of his son has been poured out and can cover all those sins. These are people who have made God their enemy. that they're out to obliterate any knowledge of God, any worship of God, any reverence for God, any acknowledgement that he exists. And yet if they turn to him, they will be forgiven. And remember, God and man are not equals. The offense of these books and this stuff and all that goes on in the media, it's hard to calculate the depth of that. It's hard to imagine and understand the depth of hatred and venom, satanic, that lies at the root of all of that. Even if the people are kind of dumb and don't realize it, it's a very dangerous territory, because once you get into it, you get hooked. And God the Father forgives them all. He's knowing all this. Jesus died for them. And so that's why our Lord urges us to be perfect, as our Heavenly Father is perfect, to love and forgive. Now, this is hard for us. But the Lord is there to help us. The Lord will always be there to give us a share in his Father's heart, and to be reaching out. You see, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Heavenly Father, who makes his sun rise on the evil and the good. He doesn't distinguish, does he? He could. He's God. But he doesn't. That's love. That's not this vague Buddhist sort of, you know, love, compassion for everybody. We're all stuck in the same cosmic cycle. No, this is personal. This is the Father loving. For if you love those who love you, what recompense will you have? He's not saying we shouldn't love those who love us. You know, I mean, that's the joy of life. That's why there's communities. That's why there's families. So that reality of love can be there and nurtured and grow, and it's so precious. But what about reaching out? Don't tax collectors do the same? And he's using these, he doesn't have anything against tax collectors, but he takes a class of society which is most despised and says, tax collectors do that. I mean, you call yourself the people of God, and what are you doing? And if you greet your brothers only, meaning, you know, greet all those that are in your circle, it's hard for us, you know, we have the same struggles, obviously, but it's hard for us to get the, you know, in this part of the world, if I go and have supper over at the Jones house, that means forever I am an enemy of the Smiths. You know, it's... Now, even there, things are getting looser, but that's, you know, these are clans. They're competing for a very limited amount of goods, and they want them in the clan. They don't want them elsewhere. And so, greet your brothers only. What about greeting the guys in the other clan? What is so unusual if you just greet your brothers? Pagans do that. I mean, in that world, you're going to make sure you're nice to everybody you need on your side, right? Even though it's dominated by fear. And then the Lord tells us, so be perfect, just as your Heavenly Father is perfect. So today, first in our heart, and then in action, let us reach out. Let us be like our Heavenly Father. If there's somebody right now, you know, wills evil to you, pray for them at this Mass. Pray for them. Our Lord told us to do that. See, the risk of Christianity is what? that love is really the greatest and only lasting force. That's the risk. That means we got to forgive, we have to love, you know, in imitation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who did just this. That's the gamble. You know, well, I'll love, you know, maybe 60%, but I'm going to keep, you know, my revolver loaded just in case, you know. It's a tremendous challenge, and it takes great maturity and great courage. And if we strive for that, if we want that, you see, the Lord is honored and pleased and will help us. And if we're in a situation where there's an enemy is really causing us great problems, great suffering, and we turn to the Lord, we will be awed by the power, by the movement, by the love the Holy Spirit puts within us so that we can really obey this command of Jesus. It would be nice to have the Father's love for everybody, wouldn't it? To have his concern that everybody be saved, the ones we like and the ones we don't like, the ones who like us and the ones who don't like us, the ones who do good to us and the ones who do evil to us, to have the Father's love for them all. Wouldn't that be wonderful? That's what our Lord is urging us to here.